Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life, though.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
OTB's The Hurling Pod.
With Bord Gáis Energy. Proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
The questions are good, Murph. That's the good news ahead of the competition.
I actually didn't even see the questions. Okay, yeah.
You've seen them. Were you not on Twitter at halftime?
No. We're talking clothes right with Seamus Flanagan. Tommy was talking to Anthony Nash. Anthony said the best save he ever made was against Richie Power, I think, or whatever. But Tommy ran in, broke. Richie scored the goal. Tommy ran in, and it was brought back because Tommy had ran in and the goal. So Anthony was just reminding Tommy there of him basically losing the quarterfinal back in 2013.
That's pretty much what you guys do. 2013 is what the next segment is going to be about, Murph. We're going to bring out two lads who played in those epic couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
We see Anthony Nash there, a man who had a rule pretty much named after him in that year. I saw a picture earlier on, by the way, and we'll ask Nash about it in a moment. But like, there's six Clare guys on the line, and I feel for them. I know Stephen O'Keefe took an O'Neill's pulley into his calf one time, and it was still there 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
But in that case, like, he turfs the ball very, very close to goal before he hits it.
I'd forgotten all about it, but obviously this week there's been a lot of clips of the 2013 final and the replay. But yeah, you'd forgotten about that for that while, that the man we're about to bring out had basically invented his own rule in hurling and was albeit nearly killing lads on the field. But I remember actually I was at the game in 2013 when he did score the great goal. And like, in fairness, he was, as good teams do, they were bringing the rules right up to the line. But I remember just thinking, God almighty, if I was a Clare lad on the goal and Anthony Nash brought the ball in to about 8 yards in front of me and lashed it, sure, you're not stopping it, like, you know.
The ones who charged it down were even more crazy. But
yeah.
And we've got Podge Collins, who retired last year after 11 years for Clare, football and hurling. I don't feel quite as bad about saying this because I keep on mentioning the All-Stars each time round. And when Skell's here, I'm kind of like, All-Stars. This time round, we can be perfectly happy with Anthony Nash, two-time All-Star. Podge, an All-Star in 2013 when they won the championship. He was the Sunday game hurler of the year that year.
Yeah.
Nash was up for player of the year.
Yeah.
So they were both nominated in the final three.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think two great guys to talk to us about the upcoming final, and we'll chat a bit about 2013 as well.
Yeah, and Podge, after Clare beat Kilkenny this year, kept sending me pictures of Gerlach Nan and saying, he texts me after the game when I was saying I was with Sambo, and I was getting texts from Podge. He goes, "Where are you?" And I was like, "I'm inside in whatever McHugh's or whatever name of the pub at Mulligan's." And he goes, I'm in Johnny Rabbit's. Come in and take your scalding." And I was like, "I can't." And next thing I'd look, and there was like pictures of Gerlach Nan on my phone. I was just going, so yeah, great to have Podge here.
Let's bring him out, Anthony Nash and Podge Collins.
Right, that's tough for him. Hey, Podge.
Great, glad you are.
Have
a seat. All right, Podge.
Wherever you want.
You can have the hot chair, as they call it.
Oh, Lord.
Podge, before we start and talk about 2013, tell us about Clare wrecking Carton House.
When you started the stories about Carton House, I was thinking if I was on stage, we'd have every inter-county team banned from going to Carton House in the country. But we were well warned, I'd say. It was probably the year after Kilkenny were there, a few years after Kilkenny were there, and we were a young team, and the management were like, "Listen, we're warned now by Carton House, no messing. So even hours free time in the evening, no messing." So we were all like, right, they're taking this pretty seriously. Grand. So myself, Shane O'Donnell, Aaron Shanahan went up to the gym. So we were inside the gym, very sensible, doing a bit of messing, like just looking at all the Irish. There are a few weights, plated weights, and impressive setup. And we were coming out anyway, and we just heard it laughing coming from down the golf course. So we went for a walk anyway. Next thing, we see two of the lads out in the Clare gear running out the driving range, collecting golf balls to bring them back to hit shots out. So I was like, we're going to get kicked out of here. But no, it's funny when you bring it up, like, it's such a small country.
Anthony, did you do any damage in Ford Island, where I assume you went to rather than Carton?
Geez, no, I think we went to Ford Island the week before we played Kilkenny in the league final in 2012, wasn't it?
Okay, yeah.
And that was the last time we went to Ford. No, Jimmy wasn't a big fan of it after the performance the following week, so we kind of... we went to Ford a few times after, it's an unbelievable facility, but it wasn't the fault of our performance that day.
You weren't on the goal that day, though, so...
No, I wasn't, thank God. We got a bit of a riddle in that day, no, right. I was actually quite annoyed because I'd come on in the semi-final against Tipperary.
Yeah.
And the league down low had ruptured his Achilles. I came on and thought I'd done well. And in the management went to it, Martin Coleman. And at the time, like, I was throwing the ties out of the pram. I was done. That's it. Good luck. Thanks. And then obviously started the championship in that year, then, all right. But yeah, I think that was the experience of FOTA, and which is it took us a long time to go back there because it got the blame for every part of the game.
Forgive me for going straight into this, but earlier this year, the lads may have seen you on the Fridays when Canning had written about the fact that, you know, Cork were a little bit soft and the Galway had always had the number. Do you see who he's tipped for the All-Ireland final today in his column?
No.
Cork, to be clear.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Like, I don't know that anyone here sure sprung it on me. So Arthur's normally on the show, and any time there's something to be brought up before I talk to Jor, he kind of tips me off. So Jor sprung it on me, and you can just see my face go red. I was like, Cork or a soft touch, and I was like, so I said to Jor, am I supposed to say what I want to say or what I should say? And I went to what I should say. I didn't really.
What did you really want to say then?
Oh, I thought it was a lot of shite. I thought, to be honest, like that. Look, I've no problem. I always say this, like, there was times when we were inconsistent, but I can never say an inter-county player is soft. I wrote an article there a few years back about that. Like, there's no such thing as a soft inter-county player. Obviously, you've got fellas, geez, like Seamus on here a while ago, like Willow Donahue's of this world, who are absolute animals, like, and, you know, you can maybe put them up here, but there's no soft inter-county player. Not even goalies are soft. But no, I wouldn't have agreed with it, but I can understand where he came from. He said his record against Cork was obviously very good and stuff like that, but yeah, no, I saw Arthur anyway sent me a text right after apologising because he could see my face. My face was kind of burning with the anger and wanting to go in, but no, I held my breath.
Yeah, there's a certain element of Corkness about a self-assuredness that when that's challenged there. Like, 2005 really does feel like a long, long time. I remember chatting to Myler after the 2018 semi-final when things were so close and he felt genuinely like Cork were ready to go to that next level. And now here we are, like 5-6 years on, you're still waiting to get over the line. Like, how much is the drive and hunger there within Cork right now to finally get over the hump now in a final this weekend?
Is it the course a bit early, is it? That they say about that one. So I joined the panel in 6. So we won it in 5. I joined the panel in 6 with a few of the lads, and we haven't won it since. So I hope it doesn't mean I have to pass away for this to come through. But yeah, I think, look, to be honest, and that was the thing I suppose about the comment, right? In 2012, we made an All-Ireland semi-final. Like, Jimmy redeveloped the team with non-household names. You had the Sean Oaks, the John Gardeners, the Rona Kearns, you know, Brian Murphy's, Joe Deans and all that. And then we came in, which were completely unheard of. And Jimmy got us to the semi-final. And I say Jimmy did because, look, he gave us confidence that we didn't really have as players that hadn't maybe shown anything. And then obviously 2013, we won Munster in 14. And then we were 17 and 18 in the semi-finals. Mm. So, like, no, we didn't get over the line. But I still think that Cork hurling, while we weren't successful in the All-Ireland series, was always there, thereabouts. No, 15 and 16, all right, we were poor. But, and then you come along and Pat gets the job, and Pat is the right man for a job. And he, when he first got it, I came out and said, I don't get much right with predicting and hurling, but I knew when Pat came in, he was the right man for the job. And here we are, 2 days out from potentially bridging that 19-year gap.
You got a fantastic colour on holidays. It's not just a good
look. Just back on holidays. So I heard beforehand that there's a Twitter feed of questions. So the last time I did a Twitter feed was, I was telling Podge and Side, it was 2013 or 14. The GA did a Twitter feed with me, right? And they asked me questions. Of course, what happened? Paddy O'Sullivan got it into the WhatsApp group to tee me up for questions. Question number one, how long do I spend in the beds? Question two, do you actually whiten your teeth? Question three, why do you only do biceps in the gym and not focus on your hurling? So I was like, when I heard that there potentially are Twitter questions, I was like, sweet Jesus, here I go. Yes, I'm just back. And unfortunately, Microsoft does afflict planes. So yeah, no, it was a nice few days.
So he got away with not having to try and sort tickets for people while he was away.
Oh, Hodge, Jesus, I didn't. No.
Ooh. Hodge, what's the last couple of weeks been like for you?
It's tough. You're expected to have this unlimited supply wherever you get them if you ever play a GA or know anyone in GA. But no, fortunately enough, no. My family and friends, close friends, got sorted themselves, or I gave a hand with one or two. So, yeah, most people I know are going to the game. It's funny, like, Anthony, you were talking about the 21-yard free and you hitting it, and that rule change. And then you're talking about, the next story was like about inter-county players, no inter-county players soft. But in training, coming up to that game, it was like, right, we have to stop this Anthony Nash three. So it was like, our idea was we were going to get 14 or 15 goalie hurlies. I'm going to put them in the goals, and we're all going to line the goals to block it. And one of the selectors anyway was like, no, we need someone out the field just in case we save it and it gets hit out. So I was there, yeah. So thankfully I was the outlet, but inevitably it ended up in the back of the net, so I wasn't needed. But so.
What a saga, Podge, it was those couple of finals. Bring you back to the first day. You must have thought you were going to get over the line. So you were leading for what, 72 minutes?
Yeah, leading.
Where are you, go quiet?
No, we'll bring this. You can give us the other perspective.
No, I'll be crying.
Go on.
I suppose if I felt a lot was going right for us that day, but us in Cork, Cork had beat us in the first round by 5 points or 6 points in the Gaelic Grounds, a comprehensive win. They were they played inside then the Munster final against Limerick, a game I was at in the Terrace, and Limerick won that, and there was this big outpour of emotion, and then they get back to an All-Ireland final, and they were probably like the tip side at the time. That, and I don't really remember if they were or not, because you're kind of staying out of it, but that's what I'd imagine it was. And we managed to get into lead, and we kind of kept the lead throughout. And then Brendan Mugler's chasing Hoggy, and Hoggy gets one of these points that there's just no way in hell a hurler should get. It's like Bugs is on his tail, and he just puts it in front of him and flicks it over the bar. But then to the same extent, when the ball goes down the field, and I'm at the other side of the field to where we got the point, let's say, the camera on the big screen in Croke Park that day was on Jimmy Barry Murphy. And there's all these photographers around him. I know you don't want to be hearing this, so I'm sorry. But there's all these photographers around him. And I'm there like an idiot thinking, oh, Jesus, this is over. And then Pavsy hits the ball out. And then at the same extent, Donal hits a shot that probably could have been hooked as well.
Stephen White, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen White.
Not that I remember it.
Yeah.
Not that I remember. Stephen White.
And yeah. You talk about games of inches, regardless of Donal hitting that shot, but inches, Hoggy gets hooked, how does it end up? Donal gets hooked, how does it end up? And then the second day, whatever happened. But it was, there was some experience, to playing them and everything like that, and they were great games, and they were well-regarded after, and I think a good few All-Irelands after that followed that were epic as well, so.
Obviously, Shane O'Donnell goes down to hurling history, 90-minute hat-trick, this incredible introduction, and people have probably heard the story that he gets told, I think it was on the bus by Davey on the way to the game, essentially. Is that true, or did they have to grow legs?
Yeah, I think we stopped in DCU, and he gets told, and I was in Cork at the time, and I was working there, and Shane was studying there. So I was training with him all year, and it was funny because he was supposed to start against Cork the first day, but he was sick, so I came in for him that day, and I managed to keep my place for the year. So then he was flying and training, and he got back, and unfortunately I was playing. So because he was young, I suppose, Dave, he said it to him late on, and he said to me, would you go up and just have, I don't know, was it him or maybe Paul or one of the lads just said to me, would you go up and have a word with Shane? Just because it's his first start, now it's an All-Ireland final and whatever. So, and it's the second All-Ireland final as well, probably a bit of added pressure for a new player to come in. You don't get the experience of playing the first one. And I just knew from knowing Shane and being with him and travelling to training with him and gymming with him and everything else like that, I didn't need to say anything. I think he was playing a game on his phone, Clash of Clans, and I just wait. I just walked over and I was just like, how's the game going? I just looked like I said something and walked away. So I was it definitely wasn't my advice anyway. But no, there was never a fear of Shane from a very, very young age. He was always just so grounded, so intelligent, and just such a good hurler. So he was fine.
Right, so Fitzy had sent you to talk to him rather than himself?
Davey has told Shane that he was starting, and he said to me, or else Paul said to me, it was one lad said to me, just go over and have a word, and I knew straight away I did not need to have a word with Shane O'Donnell.
Yeah, yeah.
At that age, he just didn't need it. So, and then what happened, he had a great game.
Yeah. Is one of those things, Anthony, when a guy like that comes in, I don't know, would you have been preparing for him at any point? He'd got a bit of game time, I think, against Leash in a qualifier a few rounds before that, but this is his breakout moment.
It would have been Tony and Podge that we would have been more focused on because of your 15 role that won. I think you started centre the first day and then flipped it around the second and stuff like that. So they would have been the two players that we would have been wondering, would we have followed or would we have held the centre back and stuff like that? And then after that, Jimmy was very much into focusing on ourselves and getting our performance right. So we didn't have too many plans for many players, but Podge and Tony deserved it that year to have the recognition of, I think Brian Murphy and Stephen McDonald were the two players. Murphy had missed a lot of the year with a broken collarbone, but to tag the two lads because they were obviously looking nominated for Hurler's Year and stuff. But they were the only two players that we had a focus on. And even if Shane was named, I don't think we would have gone to, the lens of finding stuff on him, what I mean? But the one thing is that I'm actually glad to see is that he had the great time, and then he obviously injured stuff like that, but to see how he's going this year, just to show how good a hurler he actually is as well. Like, because at the time he was remembered as goal scorer only, you know, great finishing and wow, that was great. And there was like, geez, he became a boy band figure after the game, like, you know what I mean? It was the stories that we're hearing. But just to see how he's developed into a complete all rounder now, like ball winner, selfless, skillful as ever, and everything like that. But no, it would have been just the two lads that we would have probably been focused on.
Mm. It is quite the evolution, Podge, isn't it, within his game? Like, I know you feel very much he should be as close to goal as possible, at least to start this coming weekend. Like, if he drifts out, he can facilitate other players. He's become remarkably good at winning his own ball. He's far from what Anthony said initially, where he was seen as just a finisher.
And I suppose, just to clarify what I mean, I don't think he should be like the closest player to goal by any means, but I think he should be their outlet ball to get the ball into the full forward line.
Yeah.
Because similar to like the effect Taylor had when he came on the last day, Shane brings everyone in around him. And like I've said it before, but LeBron James had that quote. He was like, 2 points isn't 2 points. And I love it, because what he means by that is like, if five players in his team touch the ball in a positive way for a play and then they get 2 points, everyone's feeding into that positivity. So when Shane gets the ball, he pops it to Reedy, and Reedy pops it to Fitzy, and Fitzy puts it over there. Three of our players have touched the ball in an All-Ireland final. Excellent. Three of them, confident start, away they go. Like, and that kind of confidence brings lads on in those big games. It gives them, settles them into it, and that's very important. Because if you're in the full forward line the next day and you haven't touched the ball for 20 minutes, and you start to think, right, do you know, Ian Galvin's on the bench, Aaron Shanahan's on the bench, Ryan Taylor might not start, he's to come in. You start to kind of panic a bit, and you want to do something then you get the ball and you take on a shot you shouldn't. So that's why I think having someone like Shane that brings these players into it is so valuable around that area.
Like, Paul, I'd imagine they need to try and get them involved for a couple of reasons, just like Podge's outlined, to try and get players feeling their way into the game. But also compared to Cork, where we talked about it this week, all six of their starting forwards score against Limerick the last day. Clare won't want a situation where Tony Kelly goes 47 minutes without touching the ball. They won't want David Fitzgerald to have a quiet game again. With all the talent that they have up front, they want all these guys to get involved this weekend.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, the difference with Clare and Cork the last 2 days, I mean, Cork, I suppose, knew that if they didn't perform from get-go, like against this Limerick team, they were never going to have a chance. It had to be 70 minutes. And it's not to be flippant about the Clare-Kilkenny game, but both teams could afford in the Clare-Kilkenny game maybe to have 10 minutes and get back into it. But I think when you're approaching Limerick, you just have to approach it differently. And we saw with Shane O'Donnell against Wexford, Leo O'Connor actually said it down in Dolan's, that he said, I'd actually like to see Shane O'Donnell towards centre-forward because he's a great ball winner. And it actually was quite effective, albeit, you know, okay, Wexford got someone sent off and it wasn't their best performance. But you could see how effective Shane was at centre-forward. We saw it against Kilkenny, they brought him out centre-forward and kind of went, well, actually, no, what's suitable for today, as we saw in the second half, is get him closer to goal, which will keep the Kilkenny full back line in that bit closer. And I remember your game in 2013, one of the big questions at the time was Patrick Horgan, and the first day kind of struggled to get Patrick Horgan into the game because he probably played so deep that Clare, he had that covered and they couldn't actually get in to Patrick Horgan. Whereas the second day, Patrick Horgan drifted out a small bit more just to come looking for ball. So I think what you're going to see with both teams, and particularly with Clare, is that I think Clare saw in the second half, when we got Tony Kelly out around midfield and he was wheeling back towards goal, we were getting him on ball and been bringing on Ryan Taylor and bringing on lads who actually were able to feed Tony Kelly ball. I think Clare kind of realised, actually, this is where Tony Kelly can be effective. And you could see Davy Fitz and the lads coming into it as well. So Clare took a lot from that. And I think Clare would be looking at it going, no, we don't want Cork, obviously, not to shoot the lights out, because we want to keep Cork confidence down a small bit and maybe ask a few questions. But likewise, Clare will want Cork to be going, okay, Tony Kelly's on form today, he can't play, and Shane O'Donnell's on form, this is dangerous for us. And likewise, Clare will be looking on the other end going, well, you know, if Patrick Horgan's on form, if Declan Dalton has a backup, if Seamus Harnady. So both teams, you know, if you keep your respective forwards quiet and maybe at half-time you have three of them who only scored from play, that's a great place to be going in at half-time.
That's the difference with Brian Hayes. Cork now have a long outlet, and Alan Connolly, for a guy that, you know, mightn't be 6'4", they're natural ball winners inside as well, you know. So, like, they have that, because we would have been told before that we needed space in front of the lads. It had to be a nice bouncy ball, and you would have played in the defence against us. Like, we wanted Hoggy in space. We wanted the likes of Luke Farrell in space, ball bouncing in front of him and stuff like that. But Brian Hayes, the last thing, and all year has shown that with his physicality, he brings a different option. That's why in 2013, we actually put Pat Cronin inside full forward for a while, because what Clare had done to cover that gap. But for Clare, like, the one thing I'd say about Shane O'Donnell is, as a goalkeeper, you don't want to see a natural goal scorer stand in front of you. If he drifts out the field, good luck. you know, have a pint or two, enjoy yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've no problem with that at all. So I don't like to see Shane O'Donnell. And then the only way I kind of think of Podge might be, like, put Shane O'Donnell in the forward line, but put Duggan inside. Well, not Jesus, I don't want you to give it away. Well, do you know what? Play Shane O'Donnell wing back, Tony Kelly, man marking Brian Hayes, and definitely be a Cork boy. Like, Tony Kelly needs space. The only time I ever played against Tony Kelly in the corner was, I don't know any people here at it, we played in Cusack Park in an absolute thunderstorm.
18
was it? Jesus, like, one of my buddies went across the road to Dunn Stores and bought summer gear after shorts and kind of sombrero hats and everything because his gear was so wet. But he started corner forward that day and he got a goal or two and he was unbelievable. But he played that role that he would have played where he was allowed to roam around. So get him on the ball, get him out the field, pull a defender with him, you know. But for me, for Clare, I think to win Shane O'Donnell is inside or a Duggan, a natural ball winner, I think that's when you're at your best. And that's what Cork have developed with Brian Hayes, especially the last day against Limerick.
Anthony, talk about the performance that Cork put in against Limerick the last day, because, like, we were kind of wondering where their form was at coming out of Munster, because it had been a bit patchy against Offaly, and the last 10 or 15 minutes weren't good against Dublin, and kind of let them back into the game in the quarterfinal. But yet, they explode into the Limerick game, and especially that kind of 10 or 15 minutes after halftime. So where did that performance come from, or did you think that performance was always in?
It's all, like, since 2018, we've had a rivalry, like, you know what I mean? And a healthy one, like, there's no bitterness or hatred there. But there's a very good rivalry there between the two teams. And there's your motivation. Like, I suppose anybody going to the Cork and Offaly game knew the Cork were going to win. Get in, get the job done, leave. You know, no injuries and stuff like that. And even the Dublin game had that bit of feel about it, that they were saying, you know, once the performance was in, and then all of a sudden you're playing against a team who are arguably the greatest team of all time, have beaten you more often than not. You've just beaten them down the park and created a carnival atmosphere on the night. I think that gave them the confidence to go. And Murph said there, like, and I had to do a talk beforehand, and I was saying, they asked me, right, what do Cork need to do? And I said, if I could bring out a magical tactic board, a fast 10 minutes on either side of the halves. So Kilkenny, when we used to play against them, and that was the joke I was making with Tommy inside about 2013. So 10 minutes before halftime, 10 minutes after halftime, we were always afraid Kilkenny would get a goal. It seemed to be the time they just said, right, this is it. And then you're going in a halftime either after conceding two goals or coming out after halftime. And it was actually 2013 when that event happened. But Limerick are a team that, if you give them a 10-minute spell at the start of either half, like if Limerick, if you flipped it over the last day, instead of Cork getting the lead in the second half, if Limerick had tagged on 3 or 4 points, could have very easily been a different game. But the confidence that this team have embedded with the performance in the park, I think, is where they got that performance the last day, knowing that they could beat a Limerick team.
Before I ask Podge about Clare and how they feel about Cork, is there any risk that you get to a kind of an emotional pitch in the semi-final and that's not quite there when you're facing Clare?
It's an all-Ireland final. I think, anyway. I can't imagine. Like, and I did an interview there at Sun during the week, and they're on about the 19-year gap. There's no player in that dressing room talk about a 19-year gap. The managers and talk, they're talking about being this year's All-Ireland champions, and that's it. That's all they want. And I think when you're going out, it doesn't matter if you're playing a junior B team in Croke Park and All-Ireland final day, you have a chance to win All-Ireland medal. And I think that's going to be the motivating factor. And I don't think it's going to be for any reason of it's not Limerick or it's not someone else. It's going to be All-Ireland final. And I think that's where both teams will be looking at on Sunday.
Realistically, Podge, do Clare prefer playing Cork than playing Limerick? With all the baggage there is about defeats and finals to them and the sagas over the last while, and it would have been Limerick going for 5 in a row and Clare trying to stop them. Is it not better for Clare to play Cork?
I said this before the semi-final, just with regards to Clare and Cork and just my experience of playing Cork and watching Clare and Cork games, I always felt that we couldn't get in a shootout with Cork because I just felt they were better shooters than us. I felt we could get at them different ways, maybe tighten things up at the back and get a goal or two, but we did not want to get in a shootout with Cork. And I said that before the Limerick and Cork game. And it just, that Limerick-Cork game in Croke Park felt very open. And there is a kind of an open feel to Croke Park. And I think something, Clare will have to do something a bit different the next day to tighten up our side of the field and not get into ye score, we score, ye score, we score. Because I do think, in fairness to Cork, they have some excellent shooters and finishers. And like just even to see that Limerick-Cork in the first game, that 78%, 77% shooting efficiency, that is off the charts. Yeah. Like as a manager's coach, and you're going to dress them after that game, you were just so delighted. So I think we need to deal with Barrett at centre-forward. However we do that, we have to get, whatever, whether it's a handoff and John Sitz or however we do it, but we need some protection. And it's not that I'm worried about the full back line. It's more that I'm worried about Cork getting shots off consistently against us. So that's my big fear.
Structure is a big thing like that we always struggled with. Limerick's structure, like from a goalkeeper looking out, was the best puck out setup I've ever come across. And I'm playing with Liberties now in Limerick. And 2 years ago, we played the Pearshig in the county semi-final. And they did the exact same thing, and I seriously struggled with it. And that's the one thing that Clare will have to bring, is if they can bring the structure. If you look at Cork the last day, with all due respect, like probably, again, I'm going back to one of the greatest half-back lines ever, but Cork moved them around. Jamie Harrandy was moving around, Shane Barrett was moving around, and that's what Cork will be looking to flip that over, like, because they will try and move John around. They'll try and move the half-back line around Dermot Ryan and keep him back as well, though, is the other thing, kind of like they do with Kyle Hayes as well. But I agree with Podge, like, if things get tighter, it's not what we want to see. Love to see, like, Jesus, Crow Park extended 5 yards with length, open it right up.
Do you see another 60-score game here, though, like the Park?
I think Podge said it there. Like, if you get us, like, we just love shootouts, like, 100%. Like, the more open the game, the better. The quicker I can get my puck outs off, the better. I didn't want the team setting up against us because we wanted to fire quick as we could. That really started in 17. Gary Keegan came in and was on about the next ball, and Pat Ryan came in as our coach. This is what, like, and Pat was saying to me, like, do not try and go beyond the opposition's 45, definitely 65 can, but get the puck out off fast. Get it up, get it going, get the game going. And then all of a sudden, you want the 132 or a 130 to whatever. But we don't want to see, like, you know, two, like, sweepers we would have struggled with before. I'm not saying Clare will, and I'm not encouraging it either. I'm just saying that if the game is wide open, if it's fast, that's what you want, and a dry day. So what's the thing they put out tonight for the weddings? Child of Prague, get him out. Get him out. Every hedge in the countryside, get him out.
Podge, before we bring back Seamus and Tommy back out into the stage, you were defending the Clare defence when we were in Limerick exactly a month ago. Have you been impressed by what they've done in the period since?
Yeah, I have massively. Like, Dave McInerney probably had an off day in the Munster final. It was his first game back for a while, come back from an injury. And it's not like him. Like, he's been our most consistent hurler since I started playing with Clare. You know, most consistently for getting on the field and performing. So it was just great to see him in the semi-final perform. And I know he's going to bring that same mentality. So for Dermot Ryan, excellent on the other side. John, I think he's moving well. I think he needs to just brush up on his use of the ball a small bit. Needs to tidy that up when he started going a bit shorter. Like you said, when Tony started going back around, we started popping at Tony. Tony started pinging balls into the corner. And then the full back line, Conor Lean, I'd say probably needs to be a bit more conscious of where the goal is. He mightn't be as lucky the next day. When the ball breaks in the ground and there's a few players going to it, you can't get sucked into that break as a cornerback. If you're the last man, you have to drop off. And I'd say he'll have learned that from the last day. Twice we got caught, and, like, thankfully we weren't punished. I think Cleary is very solid. A lot of respect for Cleary and Adam Hogan. I've no worries there. Listen, these Cork forwards are excellent. You can worry all you want, but I'm very happy with our backs. And my biggest worry really is how we're going to deal with Shane Barrett if he drags John out, like, completely and leaves a big hole. Like, we don't want a big hole in our back line. So
the irony of it all, because we were worried about you and Tony doing that to us. You know what I mean? And that's what Tony can do. And for Clare to do that, I think that's what he's going to. I think he'll have to go back out to field and help John and be that outlet all the time.
Yeah. So
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of questions that have come in. It's not just because they're all Ireland tickets. You're a very vocal bunch, it would appear on Twitter. So while I pull all these together, can you put your hands together again for Seamus Flanagan and Tommy Walsh? And I will try and not butcher these as much as I possibly can. Oh, here's one. The Kilkenny boys can take this. How is about you, Murph, on this one? Shane O'Sullivan, Cody or Lucknan?
Cody or what?
Or Lucknan.
Well, I've never worked with Lucknan, so I don't know. But that's a simple enough one. Like, I've only had one manager at Intercounty, and that's been Brian Cody, you know, which is kind of a remarkable thing to say. And Tommy's the same, sure. You were the same, you only had one manager, so I can't compare to anyone else. And it's interesting when you speak to other lads when they say under this manager's tenure or that manager's tenure, but we only had Brian. So and Brian did everything, as Tommy said, gave the rubs, did the whole lot.
Seamus, which would you rather?
No.
By the way, maybe the easier way to do this, does anyone want to pitch for Lucknan over Cody?
Podge?
I
Come on, Podge.
Come on, Podge.
How are you?
I see the Clare flag is currently moving in the crowd there, Juan.
I Loch Nan as my principal in primary school, and we had a very successful...
You're still a bit scared there, obviously.
We won the Division 1 hurling and Division 1 football, so I have good time for Ger Loch Nan as a manager. I never had Cody.
Was Loch Nan coaching in football as well?
Yeah.
Oh, how was he as a football coach?
After he gave an audible chew.
I know, yeah. He's not the biggest fan of football, I'd say, but no, he was great with the students, and like we had a great crack in primary school. Jeez, the crack chair would knock out of it, so it was good. I obviously never dealt with Cody, though.
I know, in fairness, Will, they're two legends.
Yeah. Nash, you can take this one. Shane Garvey. In 2013, Cork tried to use the penalty to try and beat Clare. How will they try and cheat this time to win?
very good. Cheating? I don't know how you could say.
Did you ever try and hit the referee?
They stole my
slitters. How many was hitting referees?
2017 or 18, they stole my slitters in the Munster final, and I'm getting accused of Cork cheating here now. no, I think it's just make sure that the big three in Duggan, Tony Kelly, and Shane O'Donnell have a quieter day than normal, hopefully.
This one's very similar from Cahill Duggan. Would Anthony Nash like to see the old-style penalty come back, or does he like the modern-day one?
So the funny thing about this, right, and Paul might be able to confirm it, I don't know, and you might as well, that I had heard that the time after I hit Stephen and the leg and they changed it, that Tony Kelly and TJ Reid had been practicing something like that. So the irony of it all is I would have been the one killed. Instead of me scoring on people, I would have been the one cowering in the back of the net or offering myself as that out forward for the penalty. And again, it came at a good time in my career, so I was starting to slow down. So coming back to the goals, the fist pumping was getting lighter, the breath was getting heavier and stuff. But that 2013 one was funny because Jimmy called me up and halfway up I was saying no.
Why?
Too far to the side. And I was like, in my head, I was like, is this man mad? It's too far. Normally you'd get one in the middle of the goal. Grant have a crack off it within the post, but it was out to the side. And halfway up, I don't know if the camera ever catch it. I was like, no, no. And Jimmy was saying go. And when Jimmy said it, I know about Cody and Loch Nan. When Jimmy said go, you went. You know? So I went up. But I'm kind of glad now for energy-wise that they're gone.
I will throw to the floor in a second. Killian is there with a mic going around, but just given that these come in at halftime, and I'm a sucker for an Offaly question, so here we go. Chloe McGlinchey has asked, as a mother of an upcoming Offaly star, and seeing the buzz that Offaly under-20s have created within the county at the moment, what's a piece of advice you would give to your younger self starting out in your career? Seamus, do you want to take that first?
As the youthful one on the panel.
As the most youthful man here, yeah.
I suppose coming up as a young gun in the hype and the carnival that is Offaly hurling at the moment, I think embracing what it is and taking it for face value for what it is, and I suppose enjoyment as well. It's something that I preach anytime I go back to my club at home is you start it because you enjoy it. Some people hype hurling up, and when you get to that intercounty scene, it's seen as this elitist group, and sometimes the enjoyment can be lost, and I think that that's a massive thing that I'd instill in that youthful group back in Fionn at home, is that you do it because you enjoy it. It's that social aspect of it. And when you lose that, I think you can lose the meaning of what hurling is. And for myself, I think enjoyment, but also it is what it is. It's an elitist sport, so that dedication has to be there. I remember listening to Jackie Turlin on a podcast, and he was saying that he just lived and breathed it. But I think in this day and age, that was probably back 10, 15 years ago. In this day and age, there has to be the happy medium between, I suppose, the social aspect of it, life outside of hurling, but when you're in it, you buy in. And when you're in it, that's all you think of. It's not what's going on outside of it, at home, school, college, work. You have to be solely focused on what you're doing and dedicated to what you're doing. And every night you go out, it has to be that 100%. Because nothing other than, looking back on it, you'll have regrets. And I always say, I went out with the lads in college the night of a league game, or I went out doing this or that. You'll regret it. Because you'll get to a stage in your life where you'll say, if I didn't do that, maybe I could have pushed myself that little bit harder and maybe things would have worked out differently for me. So no regrets and just enjoying it, but being dedicated when you're in it as well.
Tommy, what advice would you give to a young player right now?
Yeah, I'd say, don't look too far forward. I'd say every training session should be an All-Ireland. If you're going out in the morning and you're marking Adam Screeny, that should be unbelievable. If you got a chance to win a ball off Adam, or he was going through for a goal and you did a diving hook, or you know, any of the Offaly players, like, or players in this club, I'm not sure what age that chap is, but like, I can only remember from our club training sessions marking the best lads, and there was no greater feeling than going home. Then you need to have a manager who plays matches and training as well, because you don't want to be doing drills for an hour and a half. And I'd say to him that, don't be looking forward to the county final. Don't be looking forward to the All-Ireland, the Leinster final, the Munster final. Look forward to that training session Friday, and you'll go home and you'll be king of the mill, like going home. You know, you'll be hopping in, you'll have a shower after training, and there's no greater feeling in the world. And so I'd say to him that, every training session in All-Ireland.
Chloe's greatest achievement, by the way, was that her partner is from Laois, and she convinced him to wear an Offaly jersey at the under-20 All-Ireland final this year. Wally has been horribly outed, I apologise, but your question did get asked, so there is that. Gaz Keneally has got a question. Seamus stole my question, but you've never answered it. Where is the best spot for a chicken fillet roll afterwards? Can I reverse that question? Seamus, where's the best place to get a chicken fillet roll in Limerick?
I was just...
very ominous there.
Do you know what? You can't go far wrong. There's an Inver on the... What is it? The old Dublin... The Castletroy Road. And it is 24 hours fresh chicken.
Is that the second 24-hour chicken fillet roll place in Limerick? Because I was baffled after him. He goes, we're going for chicken fillets. I was driving. I was like...
it was on the way to Cratlow. I need a lift home.
It was the night that we've described in the WhatsApp, the night of 14 left turns, because I was driving. I said, right, where are we going? Just go up here and turn left. Podge goes, oh, grand, yeah, turn up here. We went to a chipper first.
Chicken hut.
Okay. The we drove, and he goes, it's late. And the lads were talking away. So imagine that was Scahill, Will, and him. They all had pints. So I'm kind of like there going, Jesus Christ. Like, I have to drive into Cratlow then as well afterwards. And then said, where are we going here, Podge? At traffic lights. Yeah, it's just left here. I was like, we never took a right turn. how are we not in the same place? So Podge got to the yoke and he goes, oh, it looks like it's closed. So Podge got out, put the hands in the pockets and kind of went over. Your man was like, get out of here. We're going to Circle K. So we don't, I was like, there's 24-hour chicken fillet rolls. Like, we don't have that in Kilkenny. So the fact that you have two in Limerick and Inver is actually better, is a better value? That's the question. Doesn't matter. Nah. But it's different though. In James Skell, he was giving out to me while I was putting, and then we sat at the same table and Skell was the other side, and it's basically like some sort of like honey badgers at the other side trying to get through his food, and a bottle of Fanta lands in on top of myself and him, and we were like, it was spilling on us. We looked over and Skell was just ripping his stuff open like this, and we were like, and he goes, what happened there, lads? That bottle of Fanta went flying. So Inver is the next place we have to go to. So
Inver.
We'll go to Inver.
And whatever about them, Will, there's only one place, and there's a lot of Cork people here tonight. Jackie Lennox's.
Hey.
And you have to be so focused going in, because if you're in the queue and you're chatting away, and next to me you look around, your man just staring at you like that. I have a chip, a half pink sauce, chicken burger, a potato pie, please.
And he takes about six orders at once, you know, and remembers every single thing, never writes it down. Well, that's the lads are telling me, and I've never been in there.
Down to the lock then, pull over the car and eat them, and feel bad then going home then. I've put on about 6 kg.
I'm not going to lie, it's difficult to see past about the second row because of the lights. If anyone wants to stick their hand up, Killian will work his way across. I know there's a bit for the microphone to go through, so just shout, Killian, if you have someone in a second, because there are loads here that we need to get through anyway. Shannon Lynch, one for you, Anthony. How hard was it to take over from Donal Logue?
Oh, Jesus, I went pale as a ghost when I was called onto the field. So we played Tipperary in the league semi-finals. I hadn't much time to think about that game. And it was funny because we got a long-range free, right? And Donal Logue used to take them, but I came out to take it and went to drop it into the square in the bottom of the bar. I didn't tell Jimmy, I didn't mean it. Like, I was like, oh yeah, Jimmy, I'd take him the whole time for the club. 100%, yeah. Floated over the bar, whatever like that. And then, obviously, we were talking to Paul there. The league final happened, and then Jimmy came up and said to me, like, we were playing Dublin, and it was between myself and Martin, and Martin was very unlucky in that game, to be fair. Like, Kilkenny were flying it, like, and, you know, he'd made a few good saves, and the ball spilled out and things like that. But so we played Dublin, a challenge match in the Gaelic Grounds, and Jimmy walks up and goes, enjoy yourself tonight, because you're in goals in 2 weeks' time. It was like the sweetest moment of my life. Jimmy Barry Murphy telling you you're going to be in goals for Cork. So it was incredible.
But to take over from Don Log was obviously huge because his puck outs. Mm. So his puck outs were where I tried to get to in 17, 18. So at the end of my career, I was able to try and do those things. I'd never compare myself to him, but I thought my puck outs were at a high enough level then. When I first went in, though, I couldn't do it. It's not that I had never practiced it. So there straight away, I kind of went, oh, Jesus, I'm great. But fortunately, that year, I won an All-Star. And then second year, we got to the 2013 final and got it as well. But it was always, I thought he was the best goalkeeper I've ever seen play. You know, and there'll be people, Davy Fitz, and obviously, like, you've got other Brendan Cummins and stuff like that. But the level he took his puck outs to, and to train with him, he was so meticulous. So I'd say to him, like, you know, oh, what'd you get up to this morning? Oh, I went to the gym at 6 o'clock. Then I went to work and then I came training. And I'm like, what? I rolled out of bed as a teacher at 10:30. Probably had a snooze at 1.
You're doing a lot for the training teaching profession here. You know what I
mean? This is my summer holidays, Will. Do you know what I mean? Like,
we were after working
so hard throughout the year to get it up. So to go back to it, he was, to me, I learned so much from him though as well. Do you know what I mean? I was watching him. I was looking at how he trained and everything like that. And probably, in my eyes, top three goalkeepers of all time.
Go on, who's on the Mount Rushmore with him then?
Oh, see, I've Limerick blood in me as well.
Fitzhenry?
Fitzhenry has to be, like, for everything he did. Like, and do you know what the thing is, right? If you planked any of those goalkeepers into modern hurling and they had to go short, they could do it. Do you know, like, it's like any hurler, like you talk about, going back to, like, Gerald McCarthy, could he do it? Of course he could if he grew up in this era. Do you know what I mean? So Fitzhenry would be there, and I love Davy. And my uncles now will probably hate me saying that, being from Limerick and stuff like that, but I just love, he's run out and jump over the thing. And I started doing that. I nearly pulled my hamstring a few times, all right? you have to look at, like, Brendan Cummins, Damien Fitzhenry, Don Log. That era of goalkeeping was rich, wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 You know a lot I mean? Of them, like, boys came away with, like, 1 and 2 All-Stars because they were all blocking each other.
And if you look at it now, like, it's Nicky and Owen. You know what I mean? It's Nicky and Owen are vying for that thing as well. And I think that seeing Pat play the way he's played the last few days, I think he gets great credit. But probably the four boys at the time, and then looking at what Owen has done in goalkeeping, like, you know, is just off the charts. The saves he makes are just...
But all of them now across the board, like, you're right. Like, when we were all young, remember Damien Fitzhenry and Davy Fitz and Brendan Cummins, and they started kind of revolutionising this save to top corner, these diving saves. And, like, even as a lad, you might have been playing wing back, you'd nearly practice them out of, you know, you'd want to do one of these saves. And they brought it on. But where it's at the moment, I really don't think lads really appreciate what saves those keepers are pulling off at the moment. It's remarkable. The speed the ball is going. And, like, when you have forwards like these who are just clinical, they're either top corner, they're bouncing it, they're making it so hard, even that element as well is so tough. And, like, the semi-finals, it was really a great and incredible weekend of goalkeeping, which is an unsung position on the field, really. But what they're doing, if anybody ever stood in on goal and you have, you know, Seamus Lanigan, TJ Reid, whoever, striking the balls at 130, 140 kilometres an hour, and these lads have a second, Peter Duggan against Kilkenny last year, and you have a second to flick a ball and hope it hits the crossbar.
That save, he was going the wrong way. That's the dream save for a goalie. You're going the wrong way unless you throw your body down and you make sure you roll 3 times for the cameraman. George Hatchell, anyone from Cork might remember George Hatchell, right? George has come to all the games and everything like that. So Paddy O'Sullivan, of course, being the piss taker, like, if I ever made in save in training, huh? There's a Georgie. You know what I mean? He'd be coming straight at me, but I'd roll 3 or 4 times after. Like, but that's because goalkeeping's gone like football. Now it's all about puck outs, not about accuracy and the kick outs in football and stuff.
Just, do you know what it's,
can I just ask you one thing really quickly? What went so right for you on the puck outs? What changed? Because you brought, in fairness to you, you brought puck outs to a serious level where you could hit a ball at 80 yards just above hurley height. And it was like, it was, we had to game plan when we played in those Munster finals. Like, we had to game plan for that, which inevitably, like, turned out to be an awful tactic, really. because we thought, like, you're training all week, he's going to go long with these puck outs. And then as soon as you saw the opportunity, you changed it, in fairness to you. But how did you get to that level, I suppose, or what changed?
Pat Ryan, we were in Carrigaline. Anyone for Cork in Carrigaline, main pitch isn't great. Carrigaline second pitch is shit. And we were there in November. And Pat put out these, he was becoming a coach, and he got these poles and put them all on the second field. You could hardly see it, the lights were so bad. And then he got bibs, he put them on him, and they only went to the opposite 65. And he came back in, he called myself and Pat, and he said, right, that's it now for the year. And I was like, what do you mean? You're hitting those. My first comment to him was like, you know I can't do that. And he goes, no, you're doing that this year. So a mixture of Pat
giving me the confidence. And what he did is he pulled in the players, right? And this is massive for any young fella that's grown up as a goalie. He pulled them in, the team, and he said, I'm asking the goalies to do something very risky. My father is above there. He's 80 years of age. Nash goes long with puck outs. We lose the game. Well, at least it wasn't Nash's fault. His puck outs are long. Now we're flipping it over where my puck outs are going to a danger zone where more than likely they're going to be cut out. So the players all went, yeah, we'll back him up. And a lot of the puck outs weren't great, but they were turned over by our players and stuff like that. And then to flip it over with Gary Keegan. So I was Peter Schmeichel, right? If a player got a goal, if you got a goal and Murph was my cornerback, I was running out, effing him out of it, going, what the hell are you after doing? Why did you leave him in? Why aren't you doing that? And my head was getting redder and I was like, 20 seconds of gone, opportunity for a puck out. So Gary Keegan said to me, next ball. Mm. And we played Tipperary in 17, I think, and they got a goal. And my first instinct is to go, I don't know who it was, but the nearest player was getting it, right? And I picked the ball up and we actually picked off Conor Lehan to the side. So we made it a 2-point goal, you know. So it was Pat Ryan giving me the confidence. I didn't back myself. I was very, like, my confidence was never that high. I would, unless someone really, really, really pushed me into it. Pat pushed me into it and then Gary with the backup. But Derek McGrath actually came in, a quick story. We played Waterford in the challenge in the championship that year, and he came in and he stood up and he goes, we made the biggest fucking mistake. He goes, we focused on your puck outs too much. And that was their whole tactic for the week into the game, was my puck outs. And then they beat us in 17 in the semi-final, so they obviously changed that.
Killian is out there somewhere. Do we have a question there, Killian? Killian, by the way, does the clips for the Hurling Pod each week, so he's doing a fine job.
Couple of questions.
There with you?
We can work.
This you can mic. Have jersey, by the way, if they ask a question.
This mic is not.
His mic.
Give it a shout.
Give it a shout.
Hello.
Hey. Who is it?
Sean here.
Go for it.
Question for Podge. If you were lining out on Sunday again, what way, you obviously had a game plan in 2013, would you have a game plan against the Cork backline this time going out? Would you do anything different with the firepower around you? What do you think would you do?
I suppose Peter Duggan, I think, was very effective down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh this year, a wing forward. And I think that they tried a few players, like Tim O'Mahony, probably had a good matchup with him, but they tried a few players and struggled. And I think he'll take great confidence from that. And he's a confidence player. So I'd probably nearly go to that older style where we'll bring out a corner forward. O'Leary will follow. And try have that two man inside. Like I know Anthony talked about maybe Peter and Shane O'Donnell being at different stages. Two of them in there together, I think could be very dangerous. So I'd probably have myself on the bench. Right? And I'd have Aidan McCarthy or Rogers going out and then Peter and Shane inside. Like, that's probably something that I'd try during the game and see how effective it worked out.
Can I give you a Tipperary jersey, or would you prefer a Clare or Cork one?
He's wearing a Clare jersey. So.
Clare all the way. Hey.
We'll throw you out a signed jersey from the Clare panel. So, if you want to work around the microphone in a second, there's loads of good questions here. This one feels like a total grenade, and we can throw it over to the far side. This comes in from RB Turkey on Twitter. Which team was better, Kilkenny 06 to 10 or Limerick 2020 to 24? Seamus Flanagan, who's the better team?
No comment. Come here, that team, that Kilkenny 4-0 team, like, I suppose we could only sit back and watch on at those All-Ireland finals. But they were some of the best games I think I've ever watched. Like, their battles, Kilkenny and Tip, those games were unbelievable. And I think, Anthony, you alluded to it there. Like, if you asked any of those Kilkenny boys now to line out, and if they were at the same age bracket as we're at, and to do what we're doing, 110% they'd be able to do it. You know, you're not at that level. I suppose you're at that era, but you're not at that level. Like, they were unbelievable at what they did at that era. If you asked us to go back and do what they did, I don't think we'd be able to do it. But what 100% if they were at our level. And you watched, like, Henry, I remember watching Eddie Brennan. We actually have a cousin from Danesford, my cousin Ben O'Connor. We used to go up and watch Kilkenny, watch them train. And I remember, like, looking at Eddie Brennan inside, and the way he used to go low to the ground, and the ball used to bounce above his knee, I'd say, when he was catching the ball, and he'd spin in a sixpence and he'd turn, and his first instinct was buried right down your man's throat at goal. And watching the likes of that, and Owen Larkin outside at half forward, and him pawing ball, and, like, you talk about fake Katogues, Keane writes with his right hand, but he holds his hurley, his top hand with his left, so he's kind of a false Katogue. Watching Owen Larkin, left hand on top, pawing a ball and sticking it over his shoulder, he's, like, majestic scores. You could go on for days and days, Tommy coming out, pawing ball out at half back, over the bar, things like that. Like, that was an immense era, but I don't know if you can compare it, you know, the greatest ever. I think they were a phenomenal team at their in their era, and I think that we're a decent team at our era. I don't know is their comparisons, to be honest.
Speaking of Tommy Paul and Ball, Cork were playing in championship 1 year, and Tommy was very good at putting his knuckles up behind the fella's helmet. So the face guard and the helmet would come down, right? But they made Pat Cronin mark you one day without a helmet.
No helmet.
No helmet, because you used to go up under
his back.
He
was good in the air, Pat Cronin.
Huh?
Pat Cronin was good in the air.
Oh, he's brilliant in the air, but you used to keep going in behind him. And push so you get the back of your hand and push the helmet up in the back so it come down the front, so all you could see is the fucking the micro whatever thing coming down, no ball, and there's Tommy going off after plucking it and going. So I remember, I think it was Don Logan, a few of the players had watched a few videos of the games back, and Don Logan's meticulous, and I had to go onto the field with a helmet, like number one going onto the field with a helmet, going on the helmet without you swinging from behind as well. But yeah, so when you talk about him plucking ball, it wasn't, you were on about cheating earlier.
was it poor Benny Dunn that pulled a bit earlier in you for something similar?
Oh, these things happen.
Speaking of which, now speaking of the dark arts, I don't know, I can't remember if I said it before, but I text you after you retired. We're in a WhatsApp group, and we played Clare in Ennis in 2017 or something like that. But I was centre back, you know, just threw me out centre back that day, and I was on Podge. Podge kept drifting out a fair bit anyway, but I think he eventually got booked anyway. But in the second half, Podge was coming through and I fouled him, and I said it'd be cute here, the backs weren't back quick enough, so I was like, I'll stand in front of the ball here now and just slow it down, and next thing I just got lashed across the arse with the ball and hurled. And that's Podge's face the whole time, smiling. I turned around and here he was smiling in my face, and I'm wearing the ball, I got booked, and the yoke was brought forward 10 yards. Podge delighted. So talking of the dark arts,
yeah.
Does anyone else want to win a jersey out there, want to stick up your paw and ask a question? Go on.
I have a Kenny man here for you, Will.
Right, go on.
Fair play.
The Eivshia Cardigal Air is Michelima Ifernan Agus Kaharki Kinnig. Do you know what? I remember a fella called Padre de Grasta. He was probably Tommy Welch's grandfather. Agus Tom Hannah Brownerman issues bar four boss, Mihala Mirhardik, and Bleen Chocon. I'm absolutely devastated. But anyway, Tommy Welch. Your father, your grandfather, Patrick Grace, I was at his grave there last year. What kind of influence was you on your hurling career? But anyway, apart from that, I would have to say, I was trained with a fellow called Horgan from Blackpool and Cork. His son plays Horg, he played for Cork for many years. And you know what? I think probably Cork will win the All-Ireland, because the tradition is there, as Mihal Eric will say. But I was interviewed by Clare FM back in 1995 and 1997, and I was down there in Newmarket at Fergus. Come down quick, they said, around 7 o'clock, the team are coming home. But the Clare fellas came down with the Lee McCarthy Cup, they robbed off us about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So, look at it. I wish Cork. I wish Cork well, and I wish Clare the Banner County, and my two All Ireland tickets are going to the Barron County. But I wish them all well. I'll be up in the sky in the Crow Park on Sunday. Fair I wasn't
is
going
the
to go.
About the budget,
but I have one fella, a Moir from Park and Croke, rang me and he says, I have one ticket and I want to give it to a fella that will sit in this seat. So I'll be burying my brother in law on Monday in Galway, but I'll be at the All Ireland. I wish them very well.
Fair play.
I wish everybody a fantastic game. So, Tommy Welch, can you please tell me about your grandfather, Paddy Grace, who was a great friend of mine.
Yeah, and
up the Black and Ember.
I tell you one thing, you could have a job Sunday if you stay going the way you're going.
I tell you, it could be Sunday if the question went any longer. Again, fair play, but we've literally got about 6 minutes here where we need to kind of move this around. I do have, I think, a winning question as well, but I want to ask you around the panel, because like, we're at an All-Ireland final preview and I don't ask you how it goes, we've kind of done something wrong. Tommy Walsh, how do you see Sunday going?
Well, just, I suppose, touching on something this man said, Mihala O'Mahair up there, About Hoggy, Patrick Horgan, was it? Like, you know, I'd say outside of his father, Pat Joe, well, outside of, I'd say, Clare, I'd say everybody in the country would love to see Patrick Horgan come in an All-Ireland medal. You know, he is over 700 pints. He's from the famous Glen Rovers State Club. He's given everything to hurling. You see his interviews during the week. He had to be barred out of the club. He had to be barred out of Páirc Cuíve. So if Patrick Horgan, and I'd tag along Seamus Harnedy with that, absolute warriors for Cork. If they're to win it, you know, we'd all be delighted for them. And on the other side of it as well, the Clare team, they've given everything over the last 6-7 years. Unfortunately for them, this great Limerick team is around. But they've been involved in epics. Munster finals, round robins, All-Ireland semi-finals. And they've had tough, tough losses over those 6-7 years. And Brian Lawan is a serious, serious Clare man. And you know he's in it for the right reasons. So no one would mind to see them win it either. So I think it's got to be a draw.
That's up there with Skehe logic, by the way. Here's the reason Galway will win. Seamus, who's going to win on Sunday?
I think Tommy said an awful lot there. I think there's key matchups. I think that, like, the two forward lines, six forwards for Cork, six forwards for Clare, are epic. And if it does, and I hope it, well, I don't really hope anything, really, to be honest, but Pod just saying he hopes it doesn't go to a shootout. I really think it could come down to a shootout, and I think it could come down to what six backs deal with the opposition six forwards the best. Like, you're looking there at, will Shane Barrett drift out, will Conlon follow him? I'm sure the Clare backroom team have a plan put in place that if that does happen, there's going to be someone picking him up if he goes out. Who picks up Darragh Fitzgibbon when Darragh Fitzgibbon starts roaming into the half forward line and back to the half back line, being that link man? Do you know, like, the inside line for Cork is lethal, but similarly the inside line for Clare, like, if Shane does drift in, Shane O'Donnell, and you've Mark Rogers inside there, and Peter Duggan drifts in there, it's teed up for a titanic battle. And I think across the board, I think it really is. I think it will be a shootout. I think that, you know, an All-Ireland final brings on, and Tommy, you actually said it before, I remember back in 2018, I listened to the podcast you did, and an All-Ireland final could come along, and I think in the blink of an eye, you said 20 minutes are gone by, and you might not have touched the ball, and all of a sudden you're looking back at what you did for the last 20 or what you didn't do, and next thing it's halftime, and all of a sudden the first half's over, and you're saying, right, what do I do here? How do I get myself into the game after 35 minutes? So I think it's going to be who deals with that better, who deals with the occasion, the circus, the parade, or on a V and everything that goes with it. But if I had to tip someone, I just think Clare, after getting over the two Kilkenny losses 2 years previous, I think they're going into it with real form. So I'm tipping Clare.
If Liz O'Connell is out there somewhere, stick up your hand, and we'll get Killian to get the microphone towards you. You'll find out why in a second. Nash and Podge, I have a sneaky feeling might go for Cork and Clare respectively. Anthony, how's the game going to play out at the weekend?
I would have said what Seamus said, is whichever backs deal with the opposition forward lines the best. It's whoever 1-9 really, actually, because you're trying to go Pat and Eva with their puckos in as well. I think that the Cork, Darragh Fitzgibbon included, with Tim there, or be it that he goes back and Kieran Joyce goes midfield, from 8 up just have too much. I just think that and they're trending. And on top of that, you've got the likes of Robbie O'Flynn, Shane Kingston to come in with pace when the game is opened up and needed. So yeah, look, I'd echo that, and I won't give as long a spiel as Tommy and his friend, but I'll say Cork. Cork. I just think Cork's firepower, and I think, but like Shane, I would say the same thing, whichever backs perform better, that's going to be the key to Sunday, whichever team can keep the opposition forwards quieter.
So Podge, why are Cork winning then?
the only thing I'd say, genuinely, I think this narrative is ridiculous that Cork can't reach the heights they've reached against Limerick twice. I think it's so idiotic. Like, why can't they? Like, they're going to take massive confidence from it. But Clare have to piece together a 70-minute performance, or whatever it is, 78, or whatever it comes down to. They have to piece that performance together to win. And I think it's just going to come down to, when we look back in that game, there's going to be key moments of goal chances, giving the ball to the right man in, like, clear-cut chances. And whoever takes them, I think that's what it's going to come down to, because it's going to be fine margins. So I'd say both teams will probably get 4 goal chances each, and whoever takes them, between, like, giving the right ball, taking the opportunity when it's on, whatever it is, or one-on-ones, hitting the ground to the right side, all that kind of stuff, Whoever takes those chances wins the game.
So I think Skell and I were the only two people this week who've probably questioned Cork getting back up to that pitch again, which is the reason that we're at home this weekend and you get to see Anthony Nash and Podgen up for the match tomorrow. You get to see Murph and Seamus on the BBC at the weekend and Tommy's going to be an off the ball. So maybe that is self-explanatory. Has Liz O'Connell got the microphone by chance?
Yep.
Liz, who are you bringing to the All-Ireland final?
My daughter, Kate.
Oh, very good. Who are you a supporter of?
Cork.
Ah, that's one less.
One win already. Yeah,
two people you don't have to sort out, Nash.
Oh, jeez, stop.
Do you want to give us your question, Liz, that you tweeted in at halftime?
We tweeted in two questions, so I'm not sure which one.
Which is the better one? If you could be any player in Cork or Clare this Sunday, who would you be? That comes in for Kate, so Kate actually wins the competition technically. Nash, who would you be if you want to be a player this weekend?
Can I transform into no fielder like
you can? Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'd love that. I'd love to be centre back on Sunday. I'd be Tommy Walsh, I'd be swiping. Tony Kelly, I'd be following him all the way back to cornerback, just giving him a clip across the elbow. Yeah, do you know what? Obviously, where I played in goals, would I love to be in goals on Sunday? Yeah, would I like to be in training in the winter in Parky Keeve? No. So I would love to be centre back on Sunday. I'm not replacing anyone, I just put myself in there. Go with 16 men.
How about you, Podge? Who would you like to be?
Most boring answer ever, no. Something that I enjoyed doing in my younger career, and I did it once or twice playing senior, but I'd love a man-marking job. Like Malone might pick up Fitzgibbon or something like that, and your job is to stop him having a good game, and that could swing it for a year, and Adam Hogan. But I enjoy that role. So I know it's completely different, but a weird one, but I enjoy it.
He likes being a nuisance, a bit like Paul Murphy. Paul Murphy, who would you be?
I suppose for novelty, I'd love to be an old free taker or something like that. Because I often wonder, I never had anything like that. We were always just scrapping in the back line. For the free takers, you know, All Ireland final day 82,000, as a player playing an open play, you're just attacking ball. You're kind of not even thinking about the crowd. You're not focused. But I imagine for free takers, Shawnee O'Shea said a great thing a few years ago. He'd be down in his local club field pretending there's 82,000 people around him practicing frees, and he gets to Croke Park and he tries to pretend there's no one around him taking a free, you know. So for Aidan McCarthy, standing over free Sunday, what's that like? For Patrick Horgan, I know they're used to it, but 82,000 people, millions watching, you're standing over a free, and you'd probably rather the ones out around the 65, because you're maybe, not to say you're not expected, but you'd be probably breaking it over one in the 21, because if it hit this way, this is shocking. But for the novelty, I'll go for it on free taker or something.
Right. Now, Murph, if you're on free, don't hit him up into the crowd.
The thing is, you're already nearly on for man the match if you're the free taker. So.
Richie Hogan's not going to touch a free for Dane's fourth this summer. Seamus, you have a secret second position you like playing?
Say it again?
You have a secret second position you like playing.
Do you know what? I was going to go with who I'd least like to be at the weekend, and that is marking Shane O'Donnell, whoever picks him up, because I just think this season he's gone. I was saying it to Podge earlier on, I think he's gone to another level this season. But the way that he plays it, in that he kind of floats out and floats back in, I think it gives that defence an awful predicament as to, do I follow him or do I hand him over? And I know that Cork backs are setting their ways in that, Niall O'Leary will float out and he will track out so far. And the half back line will track, and they'll track their half forward line going back. But I think he provides, he's in the air, he's so strong, on the ground he's so strong, he's striking. If you ever look at it, his first instinct is to get it, and who's in a better position to me? And if he turns around, he's right, I'm in 10 yards of space, then he'll shoot. But his first instinct is, who can I bring into the game? And I remember there was a stat there this season, it was one of the Clare games. I think he ended up scoring 1-4. He was directly involved in 8 other scores for Clare, which is an outrageous stat. His possession count is off the charts. It's so high, and he just floats out in the air, on the ground, pop passes here, there. I think whoever decides to pick him up, I don't know, do you think it'll be Niall O'Leary?
Next, Tommy? Nah, it depends where he goes. It'll be Sean O'Donoghue inside, I assume. And if he goes hit the forward, then it'll just be whatever. But he kind of reminds me of, and you would have probably marked him, Tommy, not in the same mould, but Dan Shanahan used to drift in and out from wing forward into full forward.
That's well, I never used to mark Dan.
Huh?
I never marked Dan. JJ always picked up Dan.
Oh, yeah. Well, he would have drifted in and out.
All right, Tommy, don't take it personally.
Huh? Sorry.
All right.
I'm just looking for a bit of insight, Tommy. Sorry, bud.
No,
but it's a great point, because if you're set, Seamus said, if you're
like Sean O'Donoghue, let's say, is picking him up in full forward line, and next thing he goes out wing, like that 15, 20 seconds, and I'm only thinking of a goalkeeper who is breaking it inside and goals, going, whoa, where's my full back on? Do you know what I mean? And you have two inside, and I think that's what Clare, if they use Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell well, you could have two and two or one and ones on Sunday an awful lot, and as a defender, you don't want to see that in Croke Park.
And it's, you know what I mean? One thing as well is, like, Paul, you said it there, there's 82,000 people there. A handover there from Sean O'Donoghue out to half back.
Can't hear it.
I can't hear from you, yeah, from myself and Murph together.
We actually prepared with a thing before the All-Ireland final in 2013 where we got system and we played a game of no talk just to try it out, because we'd never experienced, like, Jesus Christ, more All-Ireland finals played between you, but we'd never experienced anything like the semi-final against Dublin. The roaring, and if I went to the call a cornerback, like, I might as well have been blown my head off. Couldn't hear it. But just to have the difference, and people mightn't realise that, and that's what you're very good at, Seamus, is I see, like, Kyle Hayes pointing at Barry, just to point to know, and you just don't question it Sunday. Yeah. If your teammate points you to go, you go, because you're not hearing, like, do you know, you're always have a goalie inside, you're like, oh, when they break the line, you shout, okay, Podge, go. Podge is not hearing a thing, because not only is it 82,000 people, but it's 82,000 people while the 21 has been broken, and then everyone's up screaming for a goal. So, like, it's the handoffs on Sunday, like, you're on about goal scoring opportunities, that'll come from that.
Yeah.
Can't hear it.
So Brian Gavin never heard me. I said, hey, watch your nose, Brian.
Right. The €8.50 chicken fillet rolls are not going to buy themselves, so we do have to wrap up. Liz and Kate, enjoy the All-Ireland final.
Hey, you never asked me who I wanted to be.
Well, who do you want to be then? Go on.
What? Harnady. Absolute warrior. Put them all over the bar, straight out to the crowd like that.
Yeah.
And the second player I'd love to be is Shane O'Donnell. Not because of the hurling, because in 6 months' time I'm going to be a national and I'm going straight to the moon. One small step.
Thanks to our sponsors, Borgosh Energy, as well, for putting on this magnificent night. It's been Off the Ball's hurling preview ahead of the All-Ireland final this weekend. If we can put our hands together for a fantastic panel, Tommy Walsh. Seamus Flanagan. My Hurling Pod co-host, Paul Murphy.
Thanks, guys.
And the two lads who are still mates. First of all, Podge Collins.
The banner.
Up the banner.
The banner roar, is it? Yeah. And Anthony Nash. Thank you for supporting Focus Ireland, but coming along for tonight as well. Before we leave the stage, can we get a straw poll here with a cheer? Who thinks Clare is going to win? The Clare Association in Dublin are here, by the way. And who thinks Cork are going to win?
You!
My mic isn't on.
Yeah, Will, I think a Cork person and a Clare person should come up here on stage, have a game of rock, scissors, papers. first night. Come on, man.
There you go.
One and three.
You're reffing.
Here we go.
You're Brian Gavin. You're reffing.
On three, so. One, two, three.
Oh, you punch!
One, two, three.
Cork's famine is over. Enjoy the rest of your night. Thanks a million for coming along.
OTB's The Hurling Pod
with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.